Welcome to the latest edition of the Original 11. My name is Craig Saxon. I'm excited about today's show. We will have defensive lineman Mike Wagner, an outside rush specialist who really has a great story about how he got to this position from a high-level quarterback in high school. We also have Cody Kruschel to look back at week two and forward to Saturday's Ivy League opener. And then we'll have new running backs coach Jamel Matunga to talk about his core of backs, including starter Charlie Volker, who had a terrific season debut Saturday at Lafayette, as well as looking ahead to the Columbia defense, which has really led that team to a 2-0 start. A couple quick notes. You can subscribe to the Princeton Podcast Network and get every episode of the Original 11, as well as the TigerCast and LaxCast podcast, by searching Princeton Tigers on your iTunes or favorite podcast device, and subscribe there. You can also get these every week on GoPrincetonTigers.com. They'll be uploaded every Thursday. Saturday's game is a 12:30 start, Princeton versus Columbia at Powers Field. Tickets are still available. The game will be shown live on 11 Sports. Check your local listings for that. And streamed live on the Ivy League Network. Plenty to be excited about. A couple quick thoughts on Saturday. We'll get more into the game during the second segment with Cody Kruschel. But I thought it was a really workmanlike, professional almost performance for Princeton. You know, a Lafayette team that came into that game really hungry, looking for their first win. You know, got a lead in the first quarter that I said last week could make it a really tough game if Lafayette kind of smelled, you know, a chance to get that first win. And then Princeton really took control in the middle two quarters. You know, pulled off maybe a little earlier than they would have liked in the fourth quarter, and I think that's something they'll address. But good win overall, 2-0 start, and now you get into Ivy play. And, you know, I think you're looking at certainly not the same Columbia team you've seen in the last few years. You know, this is the third year under Al Bagnoli. His record speaks for itself. Senior-laden team, especially in a couple key positions, that's what wins in the Ivy League. I think it's a Columbia team that really believes in itself and is going to come to Princeton on Saturday with every intention and belief. I mean, everybody comes with the intention of winning, but a real belief that they're going to, you know, win the game. And I think for Princeton, that's a dangerous opponent, but it's also a good measuring stick early for where you are in the Ivy League. And I think it's going to tell you a lot about both teams. And you know, for Princeton, if you can get that win and really kind of execute well and feel good about yourself heading into Georgetown next weekend and then the heart of the Ivy play, it's going to be a big confidence builder. But this is going to be a tough game. I'm looking forward to this one. Again, a Saturday, 12:30 at Princeton, 11 Sports, and the Ivy League Network, as well as 103.3 FM WPRB, and then the Princeton IMG Network. You can search for that on the TuneIn app. Let's get to our interviews now, and we'll start with Mike Wagner. Mike, before we talk about this season, I want to kind of get into your, you know, development as a lineman, because Coach Cerace has kind of talked about this, but you didn't come in as a lineman. You came in as a quarterback, I believe, or at least an offensive player. Can you talk about kind of the transition to that position?
Yeah, absolutely. So I played a quarterback all throughout high school, played a couple games at safety, but it was mostly offense. And came to the training camp at Princeton as a quarterback, and then kind of closer to summer coming in, they told me and I was going to be maybe a tight end. And then actually got a little bit closer and I got a call, and it was from Coach Powers, who was the linebacker coach at the time, and he told me that I was going to be coming in as an inside linebacker, which I'd never played before. So kind of took it head on and started working on some defensive stuff, and then I came in and played inside linebacker. I was behind some really good guys, and Rohan and Katerius and some other guys. And so I was on the scout team for the first, you know, couple weeks of that season. And I managed to get some good reps at, you know, D-line positions, specifically rush linebacker. And coach moved me over to that position. And since then, I've been, you know, working with some of the older guys and a mix of, you know, Coach Verbit and currently our outside linebacker coach, Coach Mendenhall, and just kind of trying to develop my role as a linebacker. And I really couldn't be happier at where I landed. I think it's definitely the right fit for me, as opposed to playing offense or a different position on the defensive field. I think it's definitely a niche position that I really take into.
You know, it's a fairly dramatic change. I mean, it's one thing you hear all the time, the wide receiver turned cornerback or vice versa, but going from quarterback to linebacker, did it take a little convincing? Maybe, I mean, if it's one thing when you're coming in as a freshman and the coach tells you that, there's not a whole lot you can do, but did it take a little personal convincing to think like, okay, I guess I can do this?
I don't think so. I think I was just ready to kind of meet whatever challenge they had for me. And I mean, I'd always loved defense. I'd always wanted to play defense, even in high school. But, you know, being quarterback, coach wasn't too keen on that. And I loved it kind of from the first snap that I got. And it was a bit of a transition, I would say, in technique and scheme, you know, learning defense as opposed to learning offense. You know, it's a little bit different and all the techniques are totally different. So that took a little while to get used to. But other than that, no, it's kind of a pretty seamless transition.
Does your background as a quarterback give you any advantage into, you know, you think maybe you can understand what he's thinking or maybe what the offense is trying to do and give you any edge on how to defend it?
I think when I first started, definitely did help. You know, when trying to learn defensive schemes, I'd be thinking about it in terms of a quarterback, like what wouldn't I want to do and how should I act? But I think as, you know, my time here is going on, that's become less impactful just because our coaches are, they're so good at preparing us, mm-hmm. And how to read defenses in different teams and whether it's in practice or in games that, I don't think I needed any of that prior experience just because of the amount of preparation that they put in, that the interns put in, that the whole team puts in. Really doesn't make too much of a difference.
When when you first came in, it was this kind of cool story of the quarterback turned, you know, rush lineman. But, you know, now with all of the graduations to you know, defensive players last year, defensive starters, and then, you know, early injuries on the line, like, you've become a really key piece of this defense. How did you kind of prepare yourself for this season, knowing, you know, you would have a major role on the unit?
I think last year helped a lot. I was able to get in on a lot of nickel, and I was playing with Burke Olsen, who was our starting rush linebacker last year. And he was able to really, I mean, he taught me a ton, a lot of discipline, a lot of technique, a lot of different things. And our coaches prepared us. And I think a major key to kind of preparing for the season two is the spring ball that we do. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a limited number of practices, but, you know, we're working hard every practice. We have captains practices where we get together with just the team. We watch film. We do a lot of things to try and prepare for the season. So, you know, even going from freshman to sophomore year where I wasn't too confident with the scheme, that those practices we had during spring ball really helped. And once you come into the season, it feels really familiar just because practice is structured very similarly. And I just think the way that, yeah, our coaches prepare us and again, the help that the rest of the defense gives, you know, it takes a lot of pressure off each position when everyone's playing at such a high level.
How satisfying is a 2-sack game like you had Saturday night?
I mean, it's always great. You know, as with every game, there's some missed opportunities and some good things that happen, some bad things that happen. It's good to see some production. Definitely helps with the guys in the back. I think, you know, some of the plays that we make up front are definitely contributed to the secondary, you know, covering their guys for probably longer than they should have to. But yeah, I mean, it's always good to see some production. You know, hopefully as a team, we can keep that going into next week.
When you going into this Columbia game, a team that has a veteran cornerback, and two veteran dangerous receivers, you know, how important is it to make sure that you know, you don't let this quarterback kind of get into a comfort zone, knowing how dangerous those targets are?
I think it's really important. You know, obviously they're playing at a very high level right now. And it's something we've been looking at, and we've been practicing, you know, really hard all week and over the weekend to get ready for that. And I think one of the main things that we do as a team, and our coaches are really good at doing, is keeping us focused, you know, a lot on ourselves. Obviously, you know, we watch film, we prepare, we game plan against them, but a lot of the focus throughout the week is on getting better ourselves. Because, you know, how they're playing is how they're going to play. And the only thing we can really do throughout the week is prepare and try and play at our best, you know, come Saturday. So I think we know what we have to do. We have to contain the threats that they have and that they've been developing all year. But I think we have a good game plan to execute that. And I definitely think we have the guys in the back end that can help us out.
You know, you only get 10 games a year, so I know how important each one is. But do you feel it when it's Ivy play, when you start a new Ivy season, especially for a senior, you know, your last one? Does it feel a little different this week?
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely a different feel. You know, you kind of wish it wasn't. I mean, the first two games are always super important, and the out-of-league play games are just as important. But there's definitely a different environment, you know, a different intensity about our team now that we're getting to league play, and we're playing teams that we played consistently before that we know that, you know, we have these sort of mini rivalries. I mean, pretty much everyone in the Ivy League. And every game's important. Everything, you know, counts towards the eventually trying to win the Ivy League championship. So there's definitely an edge to us this week, and I think that's going to help us.
Back with Cody Cruchel for another segment of Past, Present, Future. Look at last weekend. You know, we talked about that game, and, you know, if Princeton could get out to a quick start, maybe that ends up deflating Lafayette. Wasn't what happened. Lafayette actually had the lead, you know, at the end of the first quarter, but it was the second quarter where Princeton kind of established something and was able to take control of that game. Was there one thing in particular you took away from that game?
I think the impact of having a guy like Charlie Volker back. We saw a one-dimensional offense in week one because they didn't necessarily have the manpower, and Chad Kanoff was throwing the football about as well as you could. We saw what this offense can do, and it wasn't just Charlie Volker, because he found the end zone once. Ryan Quigley found the end zone once. It was a pretty even balance between the ground game and moving the ball through the air, and I think if you can continue to do that, if you're the Princeton offense, it doesn't matter if you're playing Lafayette or you're playing Harvard or you're playing Columbia, you're going to put yourself in a good position. And we've seen that from Lafayette. They had a couple of games, their first two games, they were in it, it was tied, or they had the lead, and they just weren't able to maintain it. It's a young team, and that's kind of to be expected. Bob Saray said after the game, this is a professional win and certainly a lot of good things to build on. And either way, Princeton, 2-0 heading into Ivy League play.
You know, defensively, I mean, obviously in the last segment, talked to Mike Wagner, but, you know, you look at that front four and there's so much pressure on them based on, you know, graduation losses and then, you know, the injury to Jake Strain. And then you throw in the random third quarter targeting call that, you know, was overturned this week, and so Kurt Haluba would be able to play the full Columbia game. But
you're not allowed to hit the quarterback with your shoulder.
Apparently not. But, you know, now we're seeing Matt Hampson. We're seeing Simeon Lane. We're seeing Wagner. We're seeing Jay Rollator and Charles Tomasetti, and guys that, you know, maybe you wanted 10 to 15 snaps a game out of, that now maybe have to play 25 or 30. And I thought they held up pretty well in that situation. Again, their first game after the Strain injury, and then, you know, with the Haluba disqualification in the middle. Look, this is a group that I think will get better with the more reps they get in practice, the more game experience they see. And the challenge is going to go up as you go. I mean, we're seeing some awfully high numbers put up by Ivy League teams in the first couple weeks. So that group is going to have to get better. But I thought it was a nice start for what this defensive line is right now.
And that's a tough situation. You look at it, okay, Lafayette, this is a team with a new head coach. They're winless. They haven't been playing very good football. They're coming off a 59-0 loss. That's a tough place to play because you don't get to sleep in the hotel. You hop on the bus. You get off the bus. You have to jump right into game mode. And it was hot out. It was like 85 or 86 degrees at kickoff, and it was a little bit humid. So especially guys on the defensive line, and you can take practice snaps, but once you get into the game reps are different. I thought they held up well, and I was impressed because they seemed to get better pressure on the quarterback, O'Malley, the freshman for Lafayette, later in the game, and they were able to take advantage of a young signal caller and really put him under duress.
You talk about, you know, the present and what we'll be interested to see how Princeton works on, and I think they're really going to want to look at the way they defended that fourth quarter. It's one thing when, you know, you have a 4-touchdown lead and somebody throws a 70-yard pass and, you know, it just changes the score, that's it. But you're going to have situations where you have a 13-point lead or a 10-point lead or maybe just a 7-point lead in the fourth quarter, and you're not going to be able to just sag off 8 yards and let teams move down the field at will, or, you know, have a miscommunication on defense, which is what happened on the 70-yard bomb, and give up the quick score. So I think that has to be, you know, a learning moment for Princeton, how you defend with the lead.
And I feel like we had the same discussion a week later last year, because I'm looking at the box score for this week's opponent, Columbia, 48-6, and then all of a sudden it's that 88-yard pass to Josh Wainwright, and it was kind of the same thing, some new bodies in the defensive backfield. You know, they got some good game reps this week, and you look at the youth that was out there in the secondary. You have some upperclassmen, but C.J. Wall, T.J. Floyd, he's a sophomore. Trevor Forbes, he's a freshman. DeLon Stallworth, he's a freshman. You know, those are four underclassmen who played some significant snaps in the fourth quarter, and you're going to have growing pains. But we said it last week, the fact that these guys are out there game two of their college careers as freshmen and so many are playing, that means there's talent there. That means that they worked hard enough and they impressed enough in the preseason where the coaching staff, Steve Urban and company, are sending them out there. And you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they grow.
You know, it's not even a team that has had that much experience in defending close leads last year. They won 8 games. 6 of them were decided by 15 or more points. The closest win they had was the season opener, that 35-31 game, where it was just kind of back and forth. So this is a team that kind of has gotten used to the big lead in the fourth quarter, and it's just not going to happen every time this year. Your offense probably isn't going to be as proficient, and your defense is with all those graduations and then some early season injuries, it's hard to imagine it being as dominant as it was last year. So you're going to have fourth quarters, late game situations where you're defending either the 2-possession lead or the 1-possession lead, and it's going to be crucial that you can handle those situations. Now, whether we see that this Saturday remains to be seen. A Columbia team that comes in here with a 2-0 record, home wins over Wagner and Georgetown. So, you know, maybe not the most loaded schedule, but they're still wins. They held both teams to 14 points, and they have some senior-dominated positions, including a defensive line that, you know, in the same spot 2 weeks ago, San Diego, gave Princeton some trouble.
And this is a Columbia defense. Yes, it is against Wagner. Yes, it is against Georgetown, two teams that aren't necessarily powerhouse programs. Back-to-back weeks, they've held their opponents scoreless in the first half. And you talked about it last week against Lafayette and against a young team in Lafayette, how important it is for Princeton to get out to a quick lead. That's one of the positives you can say about Columbia this year. They've been able to jump out to early advantages.
And then that allows your offense to, look, you don't have to put up a million points. You don't even have to get off to a terribly quick start. And this offense hasn't gotten off to huge starts, but they've been efficient. The quarterback, Anders Hill, we saw a little bit of him last year. 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, not turning the ball over. 178 yards a game. So it's not, you know, they're not passing it all over the field, but he's being fairly efficient. And the ground game has done the job, 177 yards a game.
And going back to the youth in the secondary, this is a challenge. You look at Columbia on offense, a lot of youth out there. Their top two receivers, sophomores, and two of the more dynamic young receivers in the Ivy League. Josh Wainwright last year, leading receiver for Columbia. He was 5th in the Ivy League in catches, 5th in the Ivy League in yards, and he wasn't even a starting receiver off the bat. And then Ronald Smith, a guy who moved into the starting lineup the second half of last year, 5 games, he hauled in 4 touchdown passes last year as a freshman. These are two sophomores who can make plays, who can change the game in a hurry, and this isn't a diverse offense, but they do have some weapons, and I don't care who you play, Columbia is 2-0.
Yeah, and I think the experience from last week will help. One area that Lafayette was strong, they had some talent on the outside. Not fully healthy, but those were guys that Chance Melanson and C.J. Wall had to line up with, had to keep their eye on. And I think that they did a good job. They'll have to be better because, especially Wainwright, we saw on that fourth quarter play, if you give him room, he's gone. He's a pure burner, a lot like, you know, what we think Charlie Volker can be in the open field, maybe what a Tiger Besh can be. If your eyes are not right, look, it's one thing if Wainwright is in front of you, you're going to give up some catches. They've been efficient on offense, but keeping him in front of you and not letting a 6-yard pass become a 60-yard pass is going to be crucial against a Columbia team that, you know, wants to keep the game low scoring, wants to stay in its traditional defense, and wants to get this game to the fourth quarter. If they get this game to the fourth quarter, we've gotten a good one. We'll move now to our final segment. I mentioned before the running backs coach for Princeton in his first year, Jamel Matunga. He was thrilled to see his starter, Charlie Volker, on the field last weekend, although we all think he's got three pretty good ones in Volker, Quigley, and the freshman, Colin Eady. We talked to Jamel about those backs and then this game coming up against Columbia.
Jamel, obviously it was nice to see kind of that lead force in your run game back on the field on Saturday in Charlie Volker. So let's start with him. I know you're new to the system, so you didn't see him last year, but what are you seeing in him, and how special a runner can he be in this offense?
So Charlie's been exciting to watch, you know, kind of throughout the fall so far. He's definitely, you know, he's got a little different pep in his step, even from the spring. You know, I think his confidence in the offense and knowing the system has allowed him to play a little faster. But I'm really excited to see him kind of go the rest of the way. It was tough having him out for the first game. You know, like I said, I'm just really excited to see how he finishes and progresses the rest of the way. I think he can be, you know, the premier running back in this league.
You know, people look at his track career and him being a sprint champion and assume that he's just, you know, a pure burner. But really, he likes to be a physical runner, and he's certainly capable of doing it. How do you work on kind of balancing the two, when to use your physical strength and when to, you know, try to find the hole and just turn it on?
So with Charlie, that's kind of funny because Charlie always is that guy that wants to be physical and kind of ram it in there and run guys over. And it's, you know, I have to tell him, hey, you know, this one here, you might be able to get outside of him. No, he definitely likes the physical contact of the game. And, you know, it is a thing where you got to balance and, you know, figure out and pick and choose when and where to, you know, run the guy over or run right by a guy because he does have the speed to do so. So, you know, it's just one of those things as you get a lot more experience, you know, on field time. You know, last year he really came on the scene, but this year he's going to have a lot more reps and, you know, even in practice. Those things start to, you know, just even out as you get more playing time, you know, through a system. So
one thing about our offense is that, you know, with the number of plays you run, you need depth in the backfield. You know, you can't run him 40 times a game. And with him being out the first game and even last week, we've seen a little bit of your depth, starting with Ryan Quigley, who, you know, also broke onto the scene last year a little bit. People remember the 50-yarder against Cornell. But he looks like he's gained a lot in his game too. He's always been pretty shifty, but he seems to find the hole, and he can get physical too.
Absolutely. So Ryan has done a tremendous job, you know, as a younger guy. You know, the Ivy League's definitely a junior-senior league, but as a sophomore, him picking up the offense, you know, I tell guys all the time, even through recruiting, you know, the fastest way on the field is how fast you can learn the offense and how fast I can trust you. He's one of the guys that I trust the most in my room. He's done a tremendous job, again, just of, you know, doing the little things and really focusing on, you know, what he can do to get better every day. You know, he's a high energy guy, and, you know, he really sets the tone for our room. Even though Charlie's like the guy, you know, Ryan definitely, you know, pushes Charlie every day, and then really gets the other guys going as well.
Being out in preseason and then even a little bit in the first couple games, you have a freshman in Colin Eady that you obviously trust enough to put him in game situations, you know, the first 2 weeks. You know, I thought I saw a little bit of a burst last Saturday, the play where he got out to the sideline.
he seems like somebody that, you know, maybe it's just comfort in the offense, or but when he's confident with the ball, he looks like he could be something special. Now, maybe that's not going to fully happen this year, but it looks like you have a promising back on your hand with Colin Edie.
Absolutely. He's a very talented tailback. The biggest thing with him, like you said, is, you know, getting a little bit more confidence in himself in the offense. Once he kind of passes that threshold, we're going to be in really good shape in the backfield. You know, we're going to have three guys that can really go, you know, and then even we got some of the older guys that are stepping up, you know, really helping lead that group and get him squared away. So I'm excited for his future. You know, the more reps he gets, you know, on Saturdays are going to be great for us in the long run. But, you know, I'm definitely excited for him and, you know, where he's at so far as a freshman.
I know you've started looking at film on Columbia. They come into the weekend 2-0, two home wins over Wagner and Georgetown, held both teams to 14 points in both games, and seems like a team that while it has some offensive weapons, really wants its strength to be on the defensive side of the ball. What have you seen there and where they've had success?
Yeah, Craig, this is an exciting game for me just because this is a defense that wants to stop the run. You know, week one against San Diego, very similar defense in fact that they wanted to stop the run and kind of force you to beat them through the air. You know, the difference between San Diego and Columbia is Columbia is going to be more in your face and really, you know, they're going to tighten up the coverage and tighten up the box and they're going to load it up and say, hey, come at us. You know, if you can beat them in the run game, then you got a shot, but they're going to make sure that you have a tough time doing so. So I'm excited for the challenge. I think the running back group is excited for the challenge that we have in front of us. You know, they're allowing under 100 yards a game right now rushing. So, you know, we got a big task on our hands, but again, we just have to step up, you know, and make it done.
How much does it benefit you having played that San Diego game, another team with a pretty good defensive front and a team that, you know, did limit your run game? Now, obviously, you didn't have Volker in that game, and Chad Kanoff had a pretty phenomenal game in the air. But does it help kind of having that game and saying, all right, these are runs maybe we could have hit, or maybe this was a missed block or a missed hole, that seeing that and going through that experience can help you this Saturday?
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of playing, you know, a great team like San Diego week one. You know, you're going to work your kinks out, and there's going to be things that you leave out there. You know, even last week, you know, Charlie came back for the first time, but it was his first game. So, you know, there was a lot of yards that he left out there. So those two experiences from the first 2 weeks are going to help us even more this week. And again, you know, it's been proven that, hey, we had a tough go at it running the ball week one. Now we're facing another defense that's very similar. What are we going to do to step up? So
thank you for listening to this edition of the Original 11. A reminder, you can subscribe to the Princeton Podcast Network by searching Princeton Tigers on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Saturday, 12:30 start, Columbia at Princeton. Game will be on 11 Sports. Check your local listings for that. Also streamed live on the Ivy League Network. Thank you for listening to the Original 11.